We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. My name is Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire. Joining us Thursday, June 17th by Ryan Belongi to talk about Friday's three-game UEFA Euro 2020 slate. Ryan, we briefly talked before this and you were like, this slate seems really difficult. And my response was, I made a lineup in 30 seconds, so I am likely in big trouble for this Friday slate.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up too. That was my initial thought, but after playing with it a little more, I think I see where you're going. I think I probably landed on the same lineup you did. If you make one decision, and we'll get into that. Maybe I'm wrong though. I think there are some tough decisions. Yeah, as far as today's slate, we saw Ukraine and North Macedonia. Ukraine was pretty dominant. Yeah. I think today ended up being a frustrating day for me. I had 20 lineups and I played zero Lukaku, zero Carrasco, zero Mertens, and they all had 0 points. So that was nice. And I had all Ukraine stacks for the most part and just didn't go right with those missed penalties. And Alioski had the DraftKings penalty where, you know, you miss your penalty, but then follow it up for the goal. So you get the extra 2 points. Yeah, so I feel like the process was good, but a frustrating day of results, probably. I feel like if you play this slate 100 times and just play a bunch of Ukraine, you're going to win all the money a lot of times. I was looking at some of the ownership, and it continues to be, I don't know, not what I would expect it to be, I guess. You know, you always hear how the soccer lobby is getting sharper and sharper, and that's true. The margins are getting closer in soccer. A lot of people are getting better, but I've been encouraged to see some of the ownership on these slates. So I think that bodes well for the future. But yeah, let's get into today. What are your thoughts?
Today meaning tomorrow or today meaning
tomorrow? Sorry. Today meaning tomorrow. Yeah, let's get into tomorrow's slate.
Yeah, so three-game slate as we're getting used to here. Sweden,
I didn't mention that Thorgan Hazard did one better than Cavani and that he scored a goal and finished with 9 points. So that was pretty interesting too.
The single digit with a goal is really impressive.
Single digit with a goal, that's a rarity, but I knew you'd appreciate it, so I had to bring it up.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where we may have to rename it because that, I mean, he's really outdoing Cavani. I don't know if Cavani's even done that, so I'll have to go back in the RotoWire stats to check. So Friday slate, yeah, three-game slate, Sweden, Slovakia, Croatia, Czech Republic, England, Scotland, all in that order. England, the biggest favorite. I believe this is the biggest favorite we've seen in the tournament so far. We kind of know that England's good. They're one of the favorites to win. And we're pretty convinced that Scotland is not that good. So when you put that together, you're obviously going to get this line. Sweden favored against Slovakia and then Croatia favored against the Czech Republic. That one's supposed to be the closest of the three. The reason why I made a lineup in 30 seconds is because I feel like England falls into the category that they're all so expensive and I don't know who to play. And therefore I end up not playing any of them. I did eventually play one of them, but I think given that they're the late game on the slate, I think it's almost like dangerous to do that. So like if you're going to play somebody from England, I think you have to play somebody else from England or somebody from Scotland in order to give you some flexibility because they're the last game. And that lineup, like I've seen numerous expected lineups of what England's going to do. We obviously don't have any like confirmed lineups right now. The one that we have on RotoWire is different than what is over on, you know, Who Scored, and it's different than what's it's like. Nobody really knows. They have a lot of players that are pretty interchangeable when it comes to the lineup. And because of that, it's just an absolute mess for a three-game staggered start when they're the late game. And maybe we all just go play Showdown instead.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect breakdown. The England game, obviously, we're going to want to target that game. They're huge favorites, but I agree with you in that the lineup is pretty much impossible to predict. I mean, we could see it pretty similar. We could see it quite different. They have a lot of players, a lot of similar players, I guess, or they're still trying to figure out maybe who their best team is. Yeah, and that being the last game, it could be interesting. Yeah, you might have to plan for multiple spots in that last game in order to be flexible. Yeah, so the one England player you were talking about, for cash, did you just put Harry Kane into your lineup?
No.
Okay.
I never just put Harry Kane in my lineup. I pretty much will only play him on slates where I happen to have like $11,000 left in salary and he's like minus 900 to score. But man, do I absolutely hate playing Harry Kane.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. You know, I wasn't sure because we're seeing these expensive center forwards be higher owned in cash. I mean, I normally haven't played cash before, but at least in this Euros I have been, and Lukaku was 40-50% almost in some contests. And yeah, I just figured maybe with the uncertainty about the England lineup and the fact that they're probably going to score goals, I wonder if we'll see people go to Kane in cash.
About Lukaku, before we get to Kane, like I was really surprised at the Lukaku ownership. And I think part of it was maybe I was swayed by just our discussion yesterday that there were two teams on the slate that were bigger favorites than Belgium. And paying up for Lukaku, I mean, we kind of mentioned it with Mertens was like kind of a possibility in cash when you take some set pieces. I was very surprised at the Lukaku ownership. And so I do expect Kane to be owned tomorrow in cash, probably because of anyone in that lineup, he's probably the one most likely to actually start. And so you have some safety in that. I mean, like, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The 6 most expensive players on the slate are all from England. And it's possible that 4 of them start. We've got Sancho, Kane, Rashford, Calvert-Lewin, Foden, and Sterling. I assume Calvert-Lewin is not starting. I assume Rashford's not starting. So I assume Sancho doesn't either, but it's possible. He's 11-4, which is, I don't know how anybody play. Like, even if we knew the lineups, I'm not sure you can justify playing him if Kane is 10-5. But it's just like, I think Kane in cash is a good question, and I will probably do everything I can to not play him.
Yeah.
Because I just hate playing Kane in cash.
Yeah, I do too. It's not something I would want to do. Part of the reason that it seemed a little bit more viable was because we don't know the lineup and he's almost a sure thing. And who do we really want to play from them anyways with their set piece situation? I guess obviously there's some guys, especially in such a good matchup, but they're expensive. Okay, so no Kane. What do you think about forward then?
So I, you know, if you just ignore it, ignore Kane. You actually, I mean, Kane is goal dependent anyway at that price. Like, there's no good like floor option on the slate, except maybe Emil Forsberg, if we know he has some set pieces. And he took one in their first match. I almost feel like you want to throw that one out because we just like didn't really learn enough about Sweden from that game. But if he's taking them, then at trying to see here, 7,900, like I think it's fine. But I'll be honest, I was looking at Isaac also.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was cheap and he looked pretty good in that first match. Didn't score that well, didn't come close to playing 90, but at 5,700, I think he's reasonable. But Sweden is where I went next, at least.
Yeah. Sweden is where I went next as well. I agree. I don't think we learned much about them against Spain. I don't remember what the exact numbers were, but they had a crazy low amount of possession.
If I remember at one point I saw the team stats from all the team's first games and they had completed 98 passes.
Wow.
In the entire game.
Yeah, that game was that game was something to watch. But anyways, yeah, Sweden is where I went to. I think seems like you can go to Forsberg. They're favorites. He should have some set pieces. He should get some peripherals. They should be the better team than Slovakia. I mean, I don't. It's not Sweden's not a great team, obviously, but it's nice that they're favorites in this situation for Forsberg. Isaac too, 5,700. Yeah, really cheap. Cheap for the forward on a favorite. Definitely seems like you can go there. Not encouraging that he didn't go 90, like you said. Probably not the biggest deal. I mean, he's a goal and assist dependent forward. So you're kind of hoping for that anyways. The other guy I was looking at, a couple guys, but forward seems there isn't much at forward. What do you think about on the opposite side of that game, Robert Mack?
Like Sweden is, yeah, is favored. They're not that great. Mack had a decent game against against Poland, and like we know he's not going to have a monopoly of set pieces or something. We kind of hinted that he might in that first game because we weren't sure if Perisic was going to start. But yeah, I think Mack at 6,800. What's that?
Sorry, we weren't sure if Hamzik was going to start.
Hamzik, sorry, yeah. I was looking at the screen and I saw Perisic's name. Yeah, I think he's fine. I think he's fine. Absolutely.
I mean, the way you're talking about it, it sounds like you feel like similarly the way I do. Like you're not excited about it. It's not something you're excited about, and I'm not either. Yeah, he should have some set pieces. He's one of their creative players. We saw him score a nice goal ended up being an own goal, but still looked like a lively player out there and one of their creative outlets. But yeah, you're not excited about him. So second forward then, there's not much in general to be excited about. So where are you looking?
Harry Kane.
Oh, I thought you said no.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I think you can play. I think it's reasonable to play like Forsberg Mack.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know if Isaac is much worse than I think he is. I think I was skewed because, like we said, that first match against Spain was like just like we can just throw it out. Like the possession just didn't allow them to do anything. But there was like all this talk in the Discord about how good Isaac looked. He had some shot on, a pretty good chance on goal. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's one of those that like some stupid eye test thing where I'm like, oh, he looked good. And now the matchup is better. Like that's a horrific way to look at it.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that's a horrific way to look at it. That's a pretty decent way to look at it sometimes. Especially when you're right. People like at least a few people will be off of Sweden just because of that game. And that's probably incorrect. So 5,700 for Isaac. Yeah, that looks good. I mean,
I think the reason I'm calling it horrific is because in reality, a $5,700 forward for a favorite is really the reason. Like that's probably the first reason. And then I'm like, oh, he looked good. So I can use that as my, you know, to clinch the decision, but not to actually make, you know, to start the decision.
Yeah. And I think part of what makes it okay is these guys like Mack and Forsberg, it's not like they have huge floors. At least mm-hmm. we don't think so. Like I think you'd be lucky to get 10 points from Mack, at least from a floor. And that is also what made me think Kane could be at least interesting. If you don't have like a lot of floor points that are going to be there, it seems like, you know, it just takes one shot from Harry Kane and he makes up both your forward spots for you. Yeah. So the lack of, you know, forwards was making me think of someone like Kane being a better option. But, that being said, if I was considering that, and like you said, like, why not just go to Isaac? He's half the price, and playing for a favorite. So I think he makes sense. Yeah. The double Sweden forward, stacking Sweden. Yeah. I don't know, but on this slate, it looks okay.
Hey, we just have to convince ourselves they're Ukraine.
Right. Unfortunately, I don't think Slovakia is North Macedonia, but
that's fair.
But, no, I agree with you. At least according to the odds, Sweden is the team that should be on top.
Do you think it's reasonable to just compare Forsberg and Mack to Kane and Isaac? Because salary wise, I think it almost levels out completely. What is that? 14, 13, 8. I guess it's a little more.
It's a little more, but to answer your question, like if they were the same, would I just take all that goal scoring odds versus? That's an interesting question. Obviously, it's a risky proposition to be looking for goals in cash. I mean, we saw what happened to Lukaku today, but feels different on this slate. Like, and again, going back to that Lukaku thing, he wasn't a minus 300 favorite today, or the way England and Kane are tomorrow. It's a little bit different situation. So yeah, I think it's a tricky 2v2, or just a tricky question in general of where to go at forward. I think you can. Yeah, I don't think there's one way to go.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I think if you have any doubt about any one of like Forsberg or Mack, then you just play Kane. Like yeah. We kind of know what to expect out of Kane. We know the downside is probably 6 points, right? I guess mm-hmm. just from mm-hmm. shots. So, and he obviously has the highest anytime goal scorer odds on the slate.
Right. And I didn't mention the upside in that if he scores a hat trick, he's going to carry your lineup and it's not really going to matter much else what you do. So like that's gotta be taken into consideration too.
Damn.
What are you thinking?
I think you're right. Obviously if Kane hat tricks, you're dead. Like you're not making those goals up anywhere else.
No.
Particularly.
It's like a nice little bailout. It's like a nice little bailout option to have. So I guess if you put everything we've said together, you know, like the other forwards might not be that great. Decent floors, not crazy high. Kane might just be okay as it is on this slate. And he's even better because he comes with the bailout possibility of a brace or a hat trick. I think that's something.
I'm not going to disagree with you. It's like bailout insurance basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I like it.
Okay. So there's some decisions.
Yeah. Now that we talked through that, I think he's going to be really popular in lower stakes cash.
He probably would have been anyways.
Oh, no, I don't mean that like we're telling people.
No, I know.
I think the more I think about how, I mean, I mostly play lower stakes cash. And so like I see the lineups that get built and yeah, he's, I think I initially underestimated where it was, possibly because I was just comfortable with the idea of Forsberg and Mac and Isaac, you know, those guys where I didn't have to play Kane. Mostly because I think I go into every England or Tottenham slate think like I don't want to play Kane. And it's easier in the Premier League because I can play Son and I love playing Son. Son is totally that player that plays on a team I hate, and but I like him so much. So I just hope that he transfers one day. But yeah, I might have to walk myself into Kane here. I assume you're not playing anybody from Scotland. Is that true?
Well,
forwards at least.
At forward, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
All right. Are you?
No. Did the Slovakia or Czech guys? I mean, we've got Schick back after the I believe was he the only one with a brace in the first round of games?
Lukaku also.
Lukaku, yeah. To continue to talk about Lukaku, he was awful on DraftKings today, but he was awesome in that game. Like
he was.
That would have been the biggest difference between real life and fantasy ever in a game was Lukaku today. He was awesome.
Right. Yeah, just a great striker. Happy to see him doing so well here and at Inter after I feel like he was just never appreciated, got a little bit disrespected in England, was played for a United team that had like some was going through some tough times, had a lot of managerial changes. Yeah, Lukaku, great player. He was great today for that goal and just his all-around play.
Yeah. So, yes.
About the Czech Republic guys, yeah, Schick, 8,000 coming off the brace. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good tournament play. My initial thought is that like he might be a little bit too popular for my liking at that price tag and coming off a brace. Now that's not to say he's not just like the best play in a vacuum, maybe out of some of these forwards. He might be, but I think like the recency bias and the elevated salary will have me going somewhere else. And the ownership too. I'm not saying it's going to be high, but I think it's going to be higher than some of these guys. So I'd probably, higher than it should be. I'd prefer to take some shots on these other guys. I mean, I know we mentioned Sweden for cash and these forwards are all cheaper too. And they'll be popular too, but I still like Sweden a lot for tournaments. Those forwards are a great price. The Croatia forwards too. I like all them for tournaments. Is there anybody? I mean, is there anybody that sticks out for you?
I feel like the Croatia guys are a little cheap. Like, yeah. Rebic is only 7,000. Kramaric at 8,300 is a little high, but I mean, he's still a very good player. And so, like, I think you just throw those guys in. I think that's perfectly fine. Like, that's a good, very good team.
That's a good comparison. Yeah. So, like, let's just take Rebic. Rebic versus Patrick Schick. $1,000 price difference. Rebic is on the favored team.
Right.
And I just assume he's going to be less popular. Maybe not. Maybe they'll be similar. But, yeah, so point being, Rebic is the guy I go to in that spot. I agree with you.
Yeah. Let me see. Schick plus 300. Rebic, I don't even – not even showing up. Wonderful. We'll just assume he's plus 100. Just
as, oh, both scoring out.
Same as Kane. Yeah, I'm sure they're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, any I like any of those Croatia guys. I mean, they are going to, you would think, you know, no, they need to bounce back after the England game. You should see everything that Croatia has tomorrow. They need goals. They need to win. I like targeting teams coming off a loss like that. They're a favorite. The prices are good. Yeah, I'd prefer those Croatia forwards.
Yeah, I have to imagine that they're less popular than England and Sweden. So that that enough should be
definitely
for tournaments to go with them. Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
All right, so midfield, speaking of Croatia, how long did it take to convince you that Modric should be back in the cash lineup?
I mean, are you talking about the England game?
Well, like after the England game, like we both played, I believe we both played Modric in that England game. And he was fine.
And he struggled to get there. Is that what you're saying? And then how quickly was I convinced when I saw this slate?
Right.
He's the first guy in, basically. I hope that's what you were getting at.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like we were just talking about with Croatia. Modric is their guy. Their favorite in this game. They'll have a lot more of the ball. He's not too expensive. Anything, he's a few hundred dollars underpriced.
Yeah,
I think you just, for cash especially, you just jam Modric in.
Okay, so if we knew the lineups, do you think either one of like Mount or Grealish were better plays than Modric?
Oh, that's a good question. If we knew the lineups, Mount and Grealish, yeah. They have similar salaries for sure. That would be a consideration. The goal scoring and attacking prospects for England are definitely better than Croatia. So yeah, I'd probably side with the England guys, I guess, in just like a 1v1, if it, them or Modric. I don't know. What do you think? You could convince me either way, probably. What do you think?
I think the worst case scenario is you decide I am going to play either Mount or Grealish, whoever starts over Modric, and then both Mount and Grealish start. Like, I don't think split England set pieces are worth more than all of Croatia's.
I agree.
And I don't know if even, I don't think there is a reasonable path to a monopoly for anybody on England.
I agree.
So that's the consideration. Like, do you want some of the set pieces of the biggest favorite or all of them of the third biggest favorite on a three-game slate? And I think Modric is just too important for Croatia, whereas not to call all the England guys interchangeable, but like we're talking about how the lineup could be so fluid. Not only are they interchangeable for the starting lineup, but like Mount could come on for Grealish, or, you know, they have plenty of guys on the bench who could come on. And so it just accentuates, it just accentuates the fact that Kane is probably going 90. And if he's not, it's probably because they're up. And if they're up, then it's probably because of him.
Yeah, agreed. Modric, he's a, you know, virtual lock to play 90 minutes. Grealish, Mount, you're right. You talked about all the depth England has, everybody that they want to play, especially from an attacking standpoint. Those guys are pretty likely to get subbed. Could they play 90? Sure. But it seems pretty risky for cash when you got a guy like Luka Modric sitting there who's going to have all the set pieces, going to play 90 minutes. I mean, he just screams safe to me.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's exactly right. On the other side of that game, we were talking about on the last time the Czech Republic were on a slate, we had Janko and Derrida. They split like we were expecting them to. Janko took five corners versus two for Derrida, but I think that was just a, you know, side occurrence issue. Do you consider either of those guys as underdogs against Croatia?
Yeah, I think you can. It's so tough to choose between those guys. I think you might have said last time you were leaning Janko, and that's where I would too. It just, it seems like he has a little more upside as far as open play value.
Yep.
I don't think you need to go there for cash. I don't think it's a bad play. For tournaments, again, I'd prefer Janko over Derrida. It seems like he has the better chance to score a goal. Both of them are the type of guys, though, that like you would want to pair with Schick if you do play him. He's a big striker that scores a lot of headers, and they cross the ball because of that. So that's like a pairing you can make. But just like in a vacuum, those two guys aren't guys I'm looking to target. I also like, yeah, I guess that's just, that's how I feel about those guys. What do you think about each of them, I guess, for cash or just in general?
Like, I don't think the midfielders are that great on this slate, but I think they're at least for cash more reliable than the other positions. So not that it's like a waste of a spot on one of those guys, but like I think if somebody, you know, if you try to play one of the England guys and Modric, then, you know, you have the utility spot for one, for another midfielder if you wanted it. But then like Sebastian Larsson is fairly cheap. He could be on some set pieces for Sweden. If you don't end up playing Forsberg, I don't think you're really playing any of the Scotland guys, but I don't know. It just seems like there are midfielders to play and to get split sets for the Czech Republic is not like a great priority on this slate.
Midfield is tricky here. You brought up Larsson. He seems like an option for cash. I had him in just the quick lineup I made. What do you think as far as him versus the other guys, or just him in general on this slate?
I mean, if you think that he splits set pieces with Forsberg, then you're like, do I want to split set pieces for a favorite or split set pieces for an underdog, basically like Sweden versus the Czech Republic? And he's cheaper than both of the Czech guys. So I think, you know, that can help you go that way. You also don't like have to get set pieces. Calvin Phillips at 4,300 after like how great he looked in that first game. We were both very confident in Declan Rice at 3,200 and Phillips came out and just absolutely smashed. And 4,300 for the biggest favorite, you would think that he'd be able to just dominate again.
That's a good shout, Calvin Phillips. Yeah, he played in a more advanced role than we've ever seen him play for Leeds. And he hasn't played that much there for England, as far as I know, either. He looked great. He was arguably their best player, involved in creating chances, getting forward, got the assist for the goal. Yeah, I mean, on a minus 300 favorite, I definitely think you could go there and cash. Sure, there's always some risk that he doesn't start. But yeah, I think that's a really good call. The just the one other thing about Larsson, if you're playing Forsberg, it's not doesn't seem so bad to capture all the set pieces. I don't know, is that are you giving up something by doing that, or is it just like some good safety? It seems like they're an okay pair if you want to go that way. But I agree that Calvin Phillips is might be just as good, you know, with them, with England being such a favorite. Like you say, sometimes set pieces aren't the end all be all, even for cash. So I think, yeah, that's a great option.
Yeah, I don't think Sweden like is a big enough favorite for me to be like, I need all their set pieces. I think it's fine. I think it's fine.
Honestly, that's all you needed to say. And you like convinced me you'd be pretty surprised if they get 10 set pieces, even as a favorite in this matchup. So you're right there. There isn't that much to capture.
Yeah. I mean, I think in tournaments, it's fine if you, you want to do Larsson and Isaac or Berg or something, if you just try to get some sort of correlation there, but like locking up all of Sweden's set pieces is, I don't think you need that. Like if you could know that you were locking up all of England's, then maybe I think that makes it a little different, but Sweden's, I'm not dying to go there. I do want to say, I think Declan Rice is a great GPP play though on this slate. If everybody's like going to go to Phillips, and I know that Rice was playing deeper, but they're even bigger favorites on this slate. And like the reasons we liked Rice in the first game, I think still apply.
I love that you said that. Yeah. I'm a big Declan Rice fan. He's going to get a goal sometime. I mean, in these matchups where England are a big favorite. Yeah. I think that's a good shout. He can definitely get an assist too. And he's just a great player, so important to the team. And just if you just watch last game, I mean, he was basically playing center back. I don't know if they're going to do that again. If they do, like, got to be honest, I still wouldn't love Declan. But I do think, like, yeah, with them being such big favorites and him being so cheap, I think it's a great GPP play because, like you said, he's going to be very low-owned.
Anybody has them, then I get it.
I do too. I absolutely get it.
What about these Premier League names on Scotland?
Okay. It seems like a really bad matchup. it is a really bad matchup. Mm-hmm. Look, John McGinn, he was good in the first game, and he's a different player for Scotland, more attacking. Stuart Armstrong, yeah, cheap. McTominay, even cheaper. I mean, I can't do it, Andrew. I can't do it. they just don't see a lot of chances happening. You know, normally I like to take chances, you know, when it seems like you just really shouldn't or you can't, but I'm overly high on this England defense. It's the one thing that, you know, people have rated England pretty high, and I do agree that it's going to be really tough to score on them. They're solid in, like, it starts with Declan Rice and it goes out to whoever plays in defense. So yeah, I'm going to go somewhere else. It just seems, of course they can score. And, you know, one of them probably will after I tout England's defense, but I'll go somewhere else. I don't know. What do you think? Can you sell me on one of them?
No. And I was actually going to just pile onto that. The fact that Ryan Fraser is 7,800. I'm pretty much looking at this. Would you consider playing Ryan Fraser at 7,800 if he was playing for Newcastle away to Man City? You'd laugh in my face.
Mm-hmm.
That's odds wise. That's what we're seeing. And so
it's a pretty good comparison. Yep.
I'm out.
I'm out too.
I just don't think.
Especially out because this would be Ryan Fraser without any set pieces.
Right.
So
this price is, McGinn is 5,300. And so I feel like that's at least a more reasonable price if you really want to take a shot. I don't think it's worth taking, but I get it. But the Fraser, all the guarantees the goal tomorrow, but.
Right. That's a good point. Like, I guess in this situation, the guys I do take shots on are the guys like the guys who play 90 minutes and who are just for sure going to be there, like McGinn or like McTominay, who, you know, McTominay is going to be in the box, you know, for their 4 or 5 set pieces. We see him rip long shots once in a while. I mean, that's how Scotland's likely to score. So I take a chance there on the type of guys that we normally wouldn't take a chance on over like skill players who you want to see the ball and you want to create a lot of chances and, you know, if you're going to take a shot, I like guys like that.
Yeah. I just think on this slate, if you're trying to get different, just go to the Czech Republic or Slovakia. Like I just don't see Scotland doing enough.
Like just to close this thought off, we've spent like a lot of time on these Scotland options now. I mean, it's very likely that I will not play anyone from Scotland, almost certain. I think you should go somewhere else.
So let's go to defense because the one Scotland guy I think everyone will at least think about is Andy Robertson, a $6,400 defender as against a team that's a -300 favorite. How much do you want to pay for Scotland set pieces?
Oh, this is a tough question. Yeah. You can make arguments both ways. We've talked about how bad this matchup is. They're still going to get some set pieces. He's going to take them. He's still going to be in an attacking position. He'll put some crosses in too whenever he can. The fact that the England defenders probably don't have set pieces, I think you can make the argument that Robertson's the better play than them, at least for cash. You're right. The price is high, way too high for the odds in this matchup. The defenders on this slate don't seem great. If you're not playing Harry Kane, I guess you definitely have the money for it. Mm-hmm. And like, do I just think that Robertson is one of the highest scoring defenders on this slate? Most of the time, still probably yes. It's not going to be as high as we're used to from him, but I wouldn't be so quick to write him off. Where do you fall on that?
He made my first lineup. And admittedly, I made my lineup before I looked at the odds. I knew that England would be favored, but they're favored by a lot more than I think I was expecting. But I do think there are other guys you can play. Like, I don't think this is a 3-defender build.
No.
In cash, not to say that there aren't 3 defenders to play, but I just think the midfielders are worth kind of getting a third of. But the ones that I looked at first were Robertson, Augustinsson, and Koufal. And August Stinson, I think, might be a little based off experience in that, like, I've played him with set pieces and internationally, like, he likes to cross and he probably doesn't have set pieces in this one. But he's also, like, almost $1,000 cheaper than Robertson. And Kufal, I think, could be popular because he looked so good in the first matchup and even got an assist. So, you know, he was attacking well for West Ham and did it again in the Czech first game for the Czech Republic. So I think he's worth looking at least. But I think those three were the ones that kind of stuck out at me at first.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking at those three, too, at first. I decided I like somebody more, at least than Kufal and Augustinsson. I'm looking at Semi Vrsaljko, 4,700. Okay. You know, I was off him before the England game, and he was one of their main creative outlets in that game. I mean, he's just looking to put in crosses all the time, and he was getting pretty far forward, farther than I expected in that England game. And, you know, he's on one of the favorites, and he's also cheaper. So I think I would lean towards him out of those three. Just back to, I mean, I'm interested to hear what you think about that, but back to Robertson, because I was just looking at some of these midfielders, like, for instance, the Czech guys, Derrida, Janko, who's scoring more, them or Robertson? There's also one guy we could quickly mention because we didn't really in midfield is Marek Hamsik. Playing against Sweden, he's the same price as those Czech Republic guys, and I think he's a similar option to them. I don't know. What do you think about all that?
I didn't look at Hamsik enough. Maybe because I was just thinking I was more interested in Sweden, but that shouldn't mean that I don't look at Slovakia enough.
No, that's okay. I mean, he's similar to those other guys. I mean, just more so, I guess, what do you think about the defenders and what do you think about, I guess, Robertson relating to those midfielders?
I think you're right that he, you know, median outcome is around them, if not higher. We know he has everything. So it's like, is half of the Czech Republic set pieces equal to all of Scotland's, and the way that they let Scotland play, it's through Robertson on that wing at least. Yeah, maybe he is.
Yeah, it's a conversation at least. Yeah. I guess to swing it back in favor of the midfielders, they likely have a better chance to score or assist tomorrow. And so that's always a good tiebreaker if you're really stuck. What do you think about Vrsaljko versus Kufal and Augustinsson?
I think he fits in with them. I mean, he's obviously favored in that matchup. Like, Kufal is the underdog in that game. So you have that going for you. I think playing Vrsaljko and Modric is fine for cash, certainly. And like I said, like, Augustinsson is not, I don't think he's a great play. It was more just that, like, he has been a great player. And so maybe I'm skewed in that respect. It's just so, like, it's so difficult to, like, get a read on Sweden after that first game.
What I will say is, just for the future, and I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but if we see sometime in this tournament Augustinsson start and Forsberg not start, I would expect him to take half the sets, being that he's left-footed, and that's what he's done in the past.
Yep, I think it's a great call.
Again, don't envision that happening tomorrow, but just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, we'll know that too. They're the first game, so we'll know if Forsberg is in or not. Mm-hmm. I think if Forsberg wasn't forward eligible, we wouldn't really be talking about him for cash.
I think you're absolutely right, yeah.
So I have to always remind myself about that, whether, like, would I play him somewhere else? And if the answer is no, then I probably shouldn't play him.
Right. Another thing that just made me think of Harry Kane again. Like, just we're struggling with these guys and playing them just because they're forward. It all leads to playing Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Well, good luck tomorrow, Andrew.
The ultimate tilt will be when he doesn't start. And it's like, then I have 11,000, 10,500 in salary, and I'm just eating Rashford.
One thing I will say is I think we're pretty guaranteed that Kane's going to start.
Yes, that's fair. That's fair. Any of the cheaper defenders? We still have your boy Alex Kral playing in the midfield, the $3,500 defender. I don't think we really consider clean sheet points for him, but I mean, it's not like Croatia is like a barn burner, but no. Do you think 3,500 is all right for him? Or are there cheaper guys, different cheap guys you like?
Yeah, no. Look, I would have been ready to jump all over Kral if he had just played 90 minutes last game or a little bit more. Like, it's a weird spot to get subbed off when your team's up 2-0 and you're a defensive midfielder.
Not good.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it. He had played 90 minutes in most of the qualifiers in Nations League.
I think part of that is because defensive midfielders tend not to get subbed.
Right. And especially when their team's winning.
Right.
I've cooled on him a little because of that. I still like the price. But you're right. Also, there isn't much down here. I mean, I'm going to mention this same guy I mentioned last time, but I don't feel good about it. This Hubacan, 3,200. Playing. I mean, he had two shots assisted and a cross against Poland. Unfortunately, he got the yellow card.
Yeah.
But playing as fullback for 3,200. I don't know. Seems fine. Is there anyone? I mean, who are you looking at down here?
The only other one was if Emil Kraft starts for Sweden as a right back. But I think he's 3,500, but I think he falls into that category. He's like Raitala, where like he's really not a great fullback. Of course, Raitala crushed in the second game.
Man, I don't think we can slander Raitala anymore. He was way up there putting in crosses. Anyway, but no, I agree.
But I think Kraft is totally the guy that people find on the first slate where you're like, oh, $3,500 fullback for a favorite. And it feels a spot early. Like, I'll just take it and run. I think he's fine. Like, I probably don't go there. Cause I think they're the guys we talked about, I think are worth more, like Robertson, Augustinsson, Versalco. Who did I forget? Kufal. I think those guys are worth more and that they should be prioritized over than just punting the position.
Right. I agree with everything you said. And I also agree that Kraft is a pretty decent option. Starting if he were to start at fullback for the second biggest favorite, have no problem going there for 3,500. At least in tournaments. I don't know, seems fine in cash too. But whenever there's a, 3K-ish fullback on a favorite, they can't be too bad of a play.
Totally. Are you paying up for Pickford? Or paying down for Marshall? Or neither?
It seems like it's going to be tough to have the salary. I mean, well, I'll put it this way. If I didn't play Kane, I would strongly consider Pickford.
Totally agree with that.
It seems like, they have good clean sheet odds. They have great win odds, and he's just better than these other keepers. The majority of times on this slate, Pickford's going to be the highest scorer.
And
he's the safest. So if I wasn't playing Kane, or even if I just somehow had the salary, I wouldn't hesitate to go to Pickford. I agree. I think you can also play David Marshall. We mentioned last time that England are a team that takes, they have players that take shots. And yeah, I expect Marshall to face a lot of shots. This could be one of those games where England win 3-0 and the goalie score the same amount of points.
Yeah, we had that on today's slate. I think there were a number of people who would play Yarmolenko, Yaremchuk, and Dmitrievsky. And obviously the save penalty helped his score a little bit, but I'm pretty sure he outscored, I don't remember who the Ukraine starter was, but if the scores were like, if they weren't even, they were very, very close. And obviously there's probably like a $1,500 difference salary wise. So,
I wish I'd have done that. I made one of those mistakes where, because I was fading Belgium, I just thought that like I had to play Casper. But that's just, it almost doesn't even correlate. It's almost like that can be too much of a stand sometimes. I should have switched up goalie a little bit more. Yeah. Those other guys smashed, like you said, I don't know how to say his name, but the North Macedonia keeper, you know, Ukraine scored goals and he saved the penalty and he's going to be the optimal keeper. So, you know, we talk about it all the time with keeper that sometimes there's no rhyme or reason. I think there's arguments for paying all the way up or all the way down. Where do you fall on it?
I was most likely to pay down, but I actually stayed away from Marshall. Because I think Kane scores like 5 goals. It is such a slam dunk on this slate that you just don't want to play the keeper against him.
Right. It's risky. You don't want you're right. You want to avoid -8 or something if you can.
Yeah. Yep. I think either Dubravka or Vaklik could be popular just because that game, like neither of those games are going to be like really high scoring, but the Croatia Czech Republic one is supposed to be the lowest scoring of the three. And so, Vaklik, I think the only issue is that game is more likely to be scoreless than for Vaklik to have like 10 saves and a loss. But I didn't have like any real stance on any goalie. Like, I don't know if Olsen is really like, I think Slovakia is good enough that I don't think Olsen's much of a lock for 10 points. And obviously Pickford has everything going for him. So yeah, I think if you're paying up, I think you pay up for Pickford.
Yep. I agree with all that. I did the same when I was making lineups initially. I skipped over Marshall and was planning on Dubravka or Vaslik. So yeah, I agree. I think it's less risky, and those guys have a, you know, they're similar to Olsen and Lifkovic. I think you can get in trouble trying to play the expensive goalie the more expensive goalie in those matchups when, you know, neither of the teams are that good. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We have anyone else? I think we touched on everyone I wanted to hit on. Just Harry Kane. Love playing. No.
I don't think so.
Cool. All right. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Ryan or me, you can find us in the RotoWire Discord, which is open for all subscribers. Just go to rotowire.com/chat to get in there. If you're not a subscriber and would like to try the site out for free for 10 days, just go to rotowire.com/soccer trial. Gets you access to all the sports we cover, as well as that Discord chat. If you're watching this on YouTube, if you could please hit the like button below if you've enjoyed it. Feel free to leave some comments as well, or hit that bell to get reminded when these new videos pop up. And if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, if you could please rate and review it wherever you listen. Ryan, thank you for that, and good luck on Friday.
Thanks, Andrew. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.